Amen. Glory to God. Lord, will you turn with me to Colossians 1? This is out of the Passion Translation, verse 24 and 25. The Apostle Paul said, I am now glad to be suffering for you, and in my own person I am filling in what is lacking in Christ's sufferings for his body, that is the church. Now listen to what he did. In it, I have been made a minister in accordance with the trusteeship God entrusted to me for you, that I might prove among you the universal message of God. So Paul was made a minister so that he can prove among the people the universal message of God. This is a special day. We're here to ordain these five as ministers of the gospel in accordance with the trusteeship God has entrusted to them, that they might prove among the people the universal message of God. It's not that they'll just get to preach every now and then. I mean, they will, but it's much more than that. So I just want to share a little bit about ordination. When you ordain, by definition, you're invested or investing with ministerial, priestly, or rabbinical functions. And that's a big deal because an investment is taking place. The one being ordained is being furnished with power, authority, rank, etc. And the etc. is whatever is needed to do what the office commands. So I want you to go into this knowing that whatever it is you need, it's already, say already, been provided. Listen to this part. When you invest, it also means to furnish or endow with a power, a right, and again, I like that word, and etc. But let's think about that word, endow. And again, by definition, when you are endowed, this got me excited. When you are endowed, you are provided with a permanent fund or source of income. It's all right to shout hallelujah. In other words, listen to this. Not only will you be furnished with power, but if something shows up and you need more, you have an endowment, an unlimited source of whatever you need to get the job done. Whatever you need. And let me tell you why that's so important. Look at 2 Timothy 4. I may not need 15 minutes, but we have it. 2 Timothy 4, first five verses is out of the Amplified Classic. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by, in the light of his coming and his kingdom, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcomed or unwelcomed, you, as preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. I have a question. You think you need to be furnished with power, authority, and a whole lot of etc. to do that? You absolutely do, but there's more. We have verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instructions, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying. They will gather to themselves one teacher after another, to a considerable number chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. As for you, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer, say, whoa, suffering. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. I have to just step aside just for a quick minute, just so you'll understand that part, because I don't think you saw it. When I played basketball at a championship game, going against a team that had people as big as we were, and one person was bigger than we were. And his name was Tim Bassett. He played for the New York Nets. He was 6'7", 265 pounds, running full speed with the ball. The only one between him and the basket was me. I'm 6'6", 240 pounds, but I'm not running. And so I stood there and took what's called a charge. His knee hit me right around here, lifted me up, and I fell backwards onto the court, and he fell knee first on my stomach. I saw a glaring white, but I was listening for the whistle. A referee called the charge on him. I was happy. I ran along the bench, and I said, call timeout, call timeout. And the coach was like, what? I said, call timeout. He called timeout. I woke up, they said, Foots, what's the matter? I collapsed to the floor. I said, everybody get around me. And then I got up, because he said, I'll take you out. I said, don't you take me out of this game. And when I got up, and I walked past him, he said, Foots, you okay? I wasn't trying to hurt you. He said, why wouldn't I be okay? I was unflinching. I didn't want them to know they got in a good one. The word tells us, be calm, cool, and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Staying calm and cool when you get emailed because you touched a hot spot requires power. Do you think this might require something extra? Absolutely is right. That's why God has an unlimited endowment fund already set up for you, and it's loaded with his grace, because he already let us know in 2 Corinthians 12 that his grace is sufficient for us. The other definition of ordained that I want to share with you is this. It means to order or command. When we talk about order, as it refers to ordination, we're not talking about ordering food from Burger King. You can't have it your way. What we're talking about are authoritative directions or instructions. That means there are no options here. The only one authorized to change the direction and the instructions is God, and he's already said, I am the Lord and I change not. There are some things that we have to make sure we hear the authority and obey. We have to make sure we hear the authority in the instructions and obey them. With that, I also want you to understand that being ordained does not come with options. It comes with commands. Everything God said is really a command. See, he didn't give us 10 suggestions. And he didn't say, you know, by the way, a new suggestion I give you, love one another. No, he came with commands. And everything that he has said concerning you is a command. He commanded us to ordain you. He didn't sit us down. Edmund Wallerson, minister. We're not thinking about anything spiritual when this happened. As a matter of, I was trying my best to think of things unspiritual. I'm trying to just shut down. Deacon Phillips, minister. Denise Colbert, minister. Mary Lou Cachetta, minister. Deacon Susie, minister. By May. Yes, sir. Those were commands, not suggestions. We didn't ask him, what are they going to do? We knew they're going to be ordained minister, and whatever comes after that, he'll tell us then. But in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 5 in the Living Bible, we talk about having an endowment of unlimited power. Take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, just as I do. And as Christ's soldier, do not let yourselves become tied up in worldly affairs. For then you cannot satisfy the one who has entrusted you in his army. Follow the Lord's rules for doing his work, just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize. When I read this yesterday, I saw something that I never really noticed before. That verse says, take your share of suffering. Take your share. You don't have to take my, you don't have to suffer what I'm supposed to suffer. But there's some things out there that you have to suffer. And you have to take your share. The implication of that is that you may be able to avoid some of the suffering. Things you can do where you can skate around it. But you have to take your share. And only your share. You've been commanded to take your share, and that implies choice. But once you have the understanding that being ordained is an authoritative instruction and command from God, and that God has equipped you and made provisions for you to be always equipped with everything you could ever need to walk out your calling, you'll be just like Jesus in the garden. Your only choice will be, not my will, but thine be done. And let me close with this. Romans 10, verse 14 and 15 in the King James Version. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Because before that it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The follow-up question is, well, how then shall they call upon it in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? See, they're about to be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Well, folks, today there are going to be five more pairs of beautiful feet because you're being ordained to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, may these words take deep roots in the heart of everyone, but especially those being ordained today, that they will understand the power, the authority, the endowment, the investment that you already have in place for them, and that nothing can stop them from successfully walking out every aspect of this new office that they've been placed into this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. We're going to introduce our ordinance, and we're going to start with my brother here, with no hair. I have hair. It's my brother, so I can say that. Escorted by her husband, Pastor Gregory Carr, Deacon Phyllis has been a member of RLCC for 37 years. She has served as a hostess, youth fellowship director, wedding ministry coordinator, intercessor, and currently oversees our prayer team and assists in coordinating our grief share outreach to those who have experienced the loss of a loved one. I want to introduce Denise Koba, accompanied by her husband, Guillermo, a.k.a. Bill, for short. Denise has been a member of RLCC for, you can come over here. Denise has been a member of RLCC for 39 years. She has served as a praiser, praise team leader, and has taught church school and when assigned Sunday and Wednesday services. I want to introduce Deacon Susie Eshoon, accompanied by her husband, Minister Joseph Eshoon. Deacon Susie has been a member of the RLCC's Pocono campus for 18 years. She's served as a hostess, youth fellowship staff, nursery worker, women's fellowship coordinator, young adults director, VBS director, praise and worship team leader, and when assigned, taught Sunday service. We're going to introduce Mary Lou Cachetta. Mary Lou has been a member here since the ministry first opened its doors 42 years ago. Praise God. She is what we call a first fruit. Mary Lou was a call screener during the Choice is Yours live call and broadcast when that was airing. She assists families with planning homegoing services. She has taught church school and healing school sessions and when assigned Sunday and Wednesday services. She's also a member of the prison ministry staff and currently serves as the prison ministry coordinator. Praise the Lord. And we're going to introduce Deacon Esmond Wallison, accompanied by his wife, Deacon Renee. Deacon Esmond has been a member of RLCC for 37 years. He has served in the nursery and early learning center. He was a member of the SOS of Saints Outreach Squad when that was active. He was a prayer partner and faith food bookstore worker. He, along with his wife, Deacon Renee, have been the directors of the children and youth ministry for the past 16 years. Deacon Esmond is also the church administrator and corporate secretary. Praise God. Amen.
I'm going to share a charge to the candidates, and then I'm going to administer a charge to their families, because you have a part in this. To the candidates, we, the pastors of Redeeming Love Christian Center in Nanuet, New York, charge you before God, the head of the church, Jesus Christ, the elect angels in this holy assembly, that you observe these things according to 1 Timothy 5, verse 21. Maintain a willingness to acknowledge Jesus Christ of Nazareth as God manifested in the flesh. Make a firm commitment to always be led by the Spirit of God as befitting sons of God. Assume the responsibility of declaring God's holy word uncompromisingly to people of all nations as God provides the opportunity. Always love as Christ has loved you. regardless of race, creed, color, or national origin. Walk worthy of your vocation, lovingly, without coercion or manipulation. Obligate yourself to a life of holiness and moral purity as one invited, chosen, and appointed by Jesus Christ to a ministry office. Adapt your schedule to include a life of regular prayer and Bible study, essential to your personal growth and power to minister. Be a faithful steward over the finances that God provides, honestly, accurately, and with integrity. Always maintain God's priority regarding your family and your ministry. Responsibly do your part as a member of the body of Christ to build up the body at large. Assist and encourage every person you share with to become actively involved in a local church. Remember that it is God who gives you the power to get wealth, to establish his covenant in the earth, recognizing that you are a channel for him to work through to assist in alleviating the world's problems, with the Word of God and the Spirit of God as your source. Do you accept this charge? I'd like the family present to please stand. Close friends count. I need you to hear this. Listen carefully. Having heard the charge given to your spouse, your dad, however the connection is, it's important to understand that for them to walk out their calling as a minister of the gospel will take your agreement and your cooperation. Amos 3:3 in the King James Version asks the following question. Can two walk together except they agree? We, the pastors of Redeeming Love Christian Center, charge you, family, to walk in agreement with them and their calling. Undergird them with your prayers and support. Encourage them to stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do whatever is necessary for them to stay within the confines of the charge they have accepted today. God knew this day would come, and he has strategically placed you to support them, as the scripture tells us, every joint supplieth. And as they step into this divine appointment, they're going to need you to bring your supply. Will you accept your charge, families and friends? You may be seated.
We're going to lay hands upon the ordinance at this point. I'm sorry, excuse me, thank you. Put my glasses on. I'm going to read the certificate of ordination that each will receive. I'm going to read this here. This is to certify that the ordinance, having proved their divine gift and calling to the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and having consecrated themselves to said calling according to the word of God, and having met the standard prescribed by the pastor's executive board of Redeeming Love Christian Center, has on this 22nd day of May 2022, by the imposition of hands and the prayers of the pastors of Redeeming Love Christian Center, have been set apart and ordained as a minister of the gospel. The officers of the executive board hereby recognize their divine ordination as a minister of the gospel, conferring upon them the right to preach the word, administer the ordinances of the church, perform the rite of marriage, bury the dead, feed the flock of God, so long as their spirit and practice are such as become the word of God, and they continue to hold fast the form of sound words according to the established doctrines of the gospel and the policy of this ministry. And that is signed by Pastor Sarah, myself, and Pastor Greg. Glory to God. Praise God. And now we're going to lay hands upon these ordinances and their spouses, and we're going to ask Pastor Sarah if she would come up also as we lay hands upon them.
We're doing spouses because they're one. Because they're one. Now,
you'll work it out.
My hand will be on you.
On me.
And with it, right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone shout out hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we're just, as with anything, an impartation, the anointing that rests upon us, that was conferred upon us, Pastor Sarah had ordained us, also Pastor Hagen, in 2013 has ordained us as pastors. And the anointing that rests upon us, we will impart to them, but it's their faith also receiving. So they have a part to play, just like when hands are laid upon anyone for an ailment, we release that anointing, but then it's their part to receive. So we just share that so that everybody understand, as we lay hands upon them, we will impart an anointing upon them to walk in the office that God has called them to, and then their part is to receive. Amen.
We pray for it, Esmond and Renee, and we lay hands on them, separating them to the ministry that God has called them to.
By the Lord Jesus Christ today. Amen.
Father, we lay hands upon Mary Lou, and we separate her and release the anointing that rests upon us, and we thank you that she is separated to the ministry work that you've called her to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Father, we pray for now Minister Susie and Minister Joe today, and we lay hands on her and him and separate them from the ministry that they've been called to, in Jesus' name.
Father, we lay our hands upon Denise and Bill, and we separate them in the name of Jesus to the ministry that you've called them to, that you've ordained them to since the foundation of this world. And we thank you and separate them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Father, the pastors lay our hands upon Deacon Phyllis, and we impart to her the anointing that rests upon us. We thank you for the anointing that rests upon her life, and we release her now to the ministry that you've called her to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. I don't have them. Where are they? Oh, okay.
Yeah, go ahead and take those. In an order. Huh? Should be in order.
Is that what it works?
And we're giving them copies of the ordination charge and their certificate of ordination. That's what they're receiving right now. You can give them another hand. Why don't you stand and give praise to God? This is a God thing. Thank you, Lord.
God is working now. Yeah. God is working now. One thing I know, one thing I found. God is working now. Would you sing it with me? God is working now. God is working now. One thing I know, one thing I found, that God is working now. God will work it out. God will work it out. God will work it out. One thing I know, and one thing I found, God will work it out. Hallelujah.
Ministers, you may return to your seat.
May be seated. You know, a thought just came to me. I'll just share this. You know, everyone in here, and I'm going to segue to something that we just want to provide an opportunity for those that may not know Jesus as their Savior. But you know, the thought just came to me that, you know, many of us, when we accepted Christ or received Christ as our Savior, we didn't feel anything. We didn't feel, because God is what? He's a spirit, and he came to live inside my spirit. So my flesh may not have felt anything, you know, because we were so fleshly minded that we need to have that mind changed. So the same way, and I'm kind of using this as an example here, they may not have felt anything as far as an impartation, but you receive it and begin to walk in it, and God will begin to do what? Increase that which you decide to walk in. I believe I received it. It's the same thing. When you accepted Christ, now I know for me, I've shared it many times, the day I accepted Christ, I used to like to race sports cars. You put me in a fast car, I like to drive fast. I like fast cars. Huh? Even in an expedition, yeah. I like to get from point A to point B quick. No. But aside, the day I received Christ, I was home working on my sports car, and I had a four-letter vocabulary. Anybody understand what that means? Everything, my adverbs, my adjectives, everything was a curse word because I was full of the devil, and I was full of death. But the moment life came in, it took and removed the death out of my spirit. And my mouth changed. So that's why when people say, I'm born again, but I'm struggling with cursing, I want to say, get saved. Because the day I got saved, I was under my sports car working on it. I had a nice convertible Fiat, and I was under there doing something, and I jammed my hand. And normally, a litany of profanity would have come out. But nothing came out, and I put the wrench down, and I said, what happened to me? I mean, I'm serious, because it was so normal that death was in there. So that's what I'm saying. I had a fire burning in my spirit that day. The day I got saved. But Some may not feel a thing. And the same thing here. These ordinances may not have felt something, but they received something. And as you walk in it, the blessings of God will increase. The wisdom will increase. The anointing will increase. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's why, as we said, it is serious business. Once you accept a call of God, doesn't mean they're not going to miss it. We've all missed it. The founders of this church missed it. We're not perfect, but we've got a perfect one in us to help us. And if we keep listening, we'll miss it less and less. That's the key. The more we listen, and what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. We know how that got us. Got us in a big mess in life, trying to figure everything out. But if we just listen to him, he said, he'll direct my paths in everything. Praise God. So if you're here today, I said all of that to share. If you're here today and you never made Jesus your Savior, your Lord, you know, the scripture is very clear that you could believe that he's the Savior, the Redeemer, but you never professed it with your mouth. You never believed that in your heart. You never professed it. Well, then this is the opportunity to do that, and those may be watching online. So we just want you to say this simple prayer if you've never done that before. And most of us here are believers, but we don't know. So we always want to provide that opportunity. Say amen. So let's say this simple prayer. If you believe that, and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Redeemer, and he was raised from the dead, and you profess that and believe that, you'll be saved. Your spirit will change. So let's say this. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. I believe that you sent him here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And I now confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. I ask him into my heart. I believe that my spirit has been changed supernaturally and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I thank you now that I am saved, and I will serve you the rest of my days with joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're here today and you made that simple prayer, just let us know. Lift your hand. Let us know. We'll give you some free information as to who you have become in Christ. And if you're watching online, get in touch with us and we'll mail that to you. Praise God. Amen. Well, this concludes our service today. And I trust, you know, as Pastor Greg was reading that charge, not only do their immediate families have a part to play, but we all have a part to play in supporting the ministry that God has called them to. Amen. And be a support to them and encourage them. Amen. And I know you will. Praise God. We're finished. And if we'd have someone can dismiss. Yes?
I met Pastor Ed more than 20 years ago. In fact, more than 30 years ago.
It's over 40.
It's almost over 40.
It's over 40, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we met at Pastor John's church.
That's right.
Yeah, 1970.
At that time, he announced to us later that he was not saved, even though he was attending a church where that was expected of the...
No, that's not true. I was saved. No.
No, you were you attending Pastor John's church?
I was saved then.
You were saved?
Oh, yeah,
you
absolutely.
You were already saved then?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
I would have gotten asked to leave. No. I sang in the choir there and... Sang in the choir there and did other things at Assembly
okay,
of God.
Okay, but I forget how old you said you were at that time. Do you remember?
At that time, I was about 28.
He was 28.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm now 71.
20.
So that was a few 20, years ago. Let's
21
do the math.
21 years earlier.
How many years?
21 years earlier.
21 years earlier than what?
Earlier than the 28. 21 years earlier.
Yeah. I was still in college.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't even thinking about college. Yes.
I was 7.5 years old at that time. But that morning, and I can't. The same church I had gone to from the time I was approximately 3 months old. I think that's the first time my mother took me to this Baptist church in Norfolk, Virginia. And I, of course, I didn't feel anything, didn't know anything. But when that pastor, when that minister, it was a visiting minister, Dr. Wendell Somerville, called for the altar call. Now, my Pastor John, the same pastor of the church that he got saved in.
Two different churches.
I know they are.
Yeah, two different churches.
But this Pastor John Lipscomb.
Lipscomb, yeah.
Was the pastor of the church that...
Assembly of God, yeah. White Wolf Assembly.
That Pastor Ed got saved in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But... earlier, when I was 7 years old, 7.5 years old, well, it wasn't quite a half, but anyway, when he gave the altar call that morning, I knew I was 7.5, that part I do know, which they always did every Sunday, so that means that I had been going there since I was 3 months old. I think that's the first time my mother took me to church when I was 3 months old, but anyway, when the visiting minister that Sunday called for the altar call, just like Pastor Ed did just a few minutes ago, I cannot tell you anything about what really happened to me. I just knew something happened to me, and I had to get up out of the seat and go down and greet him and shake his hand, and I was going to be saved and born again. So, yeah, I was 7.5 years old then, so he was past 28 when he did it. So there's no time frame that decides when is the right time and all, because although I didn't feel any particular thing except that I knew I'd been going to that church since I was 3 months old, and I knew that when Dr. Somerville invited everybody to come to the altar that wasn't saved, I couldn't sit on my seat any longer, so I had to get up and go down there that Sunday and give my pastor my hand and guide my heart. And that's, oh, good Lord, I'm 85 now, so that's a long time. But what I'm trying to say is that it doesn't matter what age, because you may receive it as a child. You may wait until you are a grown man or woman, But when it's your time, I'm convinced that God will do something to cause you to get up out of your seat and go down there. So don't feel any particular way this morning unless you got a sincere prompting from the Lord. Nobody could tell me after that I wasn't born again, because I knew that there was something that transpired me from Sarah Washington to Sarah Washington Saint. And I've been that way now almost 70, almost 80 years, because I am 85 now. So don't try to figure out what's going on with you right now, because you don't know for sure whether or not if you made the confession. That's all that's required of you to do. If you made the confession of Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I got saved and baptized, took communion, and all in the same day. So I got a full dose of it. And I have never questioned in these 85 years whether or not I got born again as a 7-year-old. Can't tell you anything particular that happened. It's just that I do. That something was happening in me that was making a difference, and it made me different, because while I wasn't a cursor like Pastor Ed was, I occasionally cursed, and after that, I found that I wasn't cursing anymore. I was 7-year-old. So at 7 years old, oh yeah, my language was probably right alongside yours, brother, when I was 7 years old. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm just highlighting one thing.
Yeah.
Cursing. There were other things. I just didn't elaborate.
That's fine.
You know,
but
I was changed.
You know, I knew I was changed because of the number of things that happened to me all in the same
Well, I'm not saying anything.
Thank you. He ain't saying
nothing. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, he talks about waiting 28
years.
He
got a litany of stuff.
Yeah, he sure did.
Right. There you go.
But
we all were there, right? So we could all get a mic and talk about all the goofy stuff we did, because we were dumb.
Because we were dumb.
Right? Yeah. And we just didn't know
and
any
without
better.
Without Jesus Christ
no
in your heart. So if you felt anything at all close to any of that.
Yeah, there you go. There's hope.
There's hope.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
So if the Lord has touched you in any way today.
There you go.
And we still have time to invite you down here today, because you may be thinking, well, I have to be a certain age when I do it. And I'm telling you, he was 27, 28. Probably. And I had just 3 months earlier turned 7. But nobody has ever caused me to change what I know happened to me that day, because I got it all. I got baptized. I didn't speak in tongues that day, but I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I got baptized in water.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Pastor Ed gave the confession. He led you in a confession. Pastor Sarah explained what that meant. And so right now, if you are here, and today is the first time you've made that confession, or the first time you made it and you actually understood what happened, Why don't you just stand where you are right now? Just stand, because God has taken the time out to explain, because there's probably somebody in here, at least one person, that's never received Christ. Wanted to, may have thought you had. But if you're here, just if you don't want to stand, just wave. We'll spy out. No. Because God doesn't take, he doesn't waste time. He had that shared for a reason. Could be someone online. I don't know. If it's online, contact us and let us know. But it's not about feeling. It's about truth. It's about God being faithful to what he said. So is there anybody here? Is there anyone here, you've never received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? That's your gift also. So if you stand right where you are, you'll start speaking in other tongues. You give me 30 seconds, you'll start speaking in other tongues. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues right now, just stand where you are. What's going to happen? I'm going to pray. Thank you for standing. I'm going to pray, because Jesus said that if any man being a good father, if his son asks for a fish, will he give him a rock? And of course, the answer to that is, of course not. He said, so if we being humans know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will God give the Holy Ghost to whoever asks? And so what we're going to do is we're going to ask. You're going to ask. I'm going to start praying in other tongues, as is everyone around you. And then I'm just going to point to you like this, and you're going to open your mouth, and you're going to start praying in other tongues, just like that. You believe that? Say, I believe that. And say, Father, when Pastor prays and starts speaking in other tongues, he's going to point at me. And when he points at me, I'm going to start speaking in other tongues. Amen? Are you ready? Is there anyone that wants to join our sister? She's about to get her new heavenly language. Just like Pastor Ed got a new language, you're going to get a new language. Okay. Father, we just thank you. This has been a great, great morning. And we thank you, Father, for bringing more feet to spread the gospel. But right now, Father, you said you would give the Holy Ghost to whomever would ask. Our sister is standing in back. She's standing in front of all these people, unashamed, unafraid. She wants to receive her gift that you promised, the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So I thank you for giving her that gift, for honoring her prayer, because she's asked. She's saying right now, and I need you to say this out loud, Father, I just need to hear her voice if you don't mind. Father, thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues right now in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to pray, the congregation's going to pray, and I'm going to go like this. And you're going to start speaking in other tongues, okay? Ishabrondo loramana kite, isondo no no kopata sanda, eshomo no no kinda larapoto sondo lo manan, te kete de site de opota sonda, lopoto toto sonda laramana tata sinta, nitata sondo loro mono topoto soto. Someone go and listen to her praying in tongues. Yes, I see the mask moving. Yes. Thank you, Father. Ise prondo la ramana kiste ne ne kadala la poto sondo. Isambana na keste le re kite le re kogbanda. Ise prondo sondo na makine ni kata sanda la kakata. She's praying. She's got, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, now stop speaking. I'm doing this to let you know that you can control it. Start speaking again. See, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He's not going to just throw himself on you. He comes where he's invited, and he stays where you act like you want him to stay. If I go to visit someone, and they start putting all the food away, it's like, okay, they don't want me anymore. The Holy Ghost is with you now forever. Amen. Forever. One of the deacons, please take note of our sister, and we have some free information for you. There's a booklet we're going to give you called Wide Tongue, so you'll understand just what happened to you today. Amen? Amen. I think God deserves a rousing applause for this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Sarah. Because you may not have known why you were saying what you said, but God did.
You know, just a thought before we dismiss, that I'm just reflecting on, again, it's personal, a personal experience. But when I was young, you know, Pastor, I mentioned, you know, I was 28, went through a very troubling time in my life because of dumbness, you know. But in any event, you know, God is merciful. And I remember I was home praying on my bed, just laying there in bed, praying, had my hands in my spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. And it began to intensify. And I remember these things like yesterday, and it felt like I was leaving my body, and I pulled back a little bit. I got a little fearful because it was something new, different. And it was so powerful. The presence of God was so powerful. And instantly, my room filled with his voice. And he began to tell me what I was going to do in ministry. And that didn't really happen for another 30 years, 25 years to 30 years. But my point is, God may show you, not just these ordinances, but he may have shown you something in your life, a path, a direction. Maybe it may not necessarily be in this capacity, but he may have shown you something. And you're like, man, I gotta make this happen. You don't have to make anything happen, because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And if he shows you something, this is the thing that was instilled in me. Be faithful where you're planted. And you ain't nobody here, anybody who knows me, as many years as I've worked here, I came on staff in 85, and I did it with every ounce of energy that I could possibly muster up, and I still do. So the key is, you just keep doing what God has told you to do, where he's planted you, and he'll unfold all of those particulars in your life, and it'll be easy. You won't have to struggle or make it come to pass. You won't have to make it. Just be obedient, listen to his voice, follow his voice, and you'll end up where you're supposed to be. Right? Walking in that which he told you you'd walk in. So often we want it yesterday. I want it yesterday. That's just immaturity. But just be faithful where you are. Be faithful where God's planted you. Amen? Amen. Praise God.